Earlier this month, the Canadian Parliamentary Coalition to Combat Anti-Semitism released its final report. Local members of the coalition include Winnipeg Centre MP Pat Martin and former Winnipeg North MP Judy Washalis-Elise. The report states that Canada is witnessing an unprecedented increase in anti-Semitic activities and hateful discourse, and that anti-Semitism is a growing threat in Canada, especially on university campuses. However, the coalition has been criticized for how it collects information and for seeking only evidence that supported its original conclusions. Michael Kiefer is a professor of English at the University of Guelph and the past president of the Canadian Association of University Teachers of English. He is the co-author and the compiler of the book Anti-Semitism Real and Imagined, Responses to the Canadian Parliamentary Coalition to Combat Anti-Semitism, published by Canadian Charger in 2010. Michael Kiefer joins me now by phone from his home in Toronto. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Karen.
In 2009, you provided a written submission to the Parliamentary Coalition on Anti-Semitism, but you were not invited to participate in the oral hearings, and this was also the experience of other individuals and of organizations, some of whom became contributors to your book, Anti-Semitism Real and Imagined. Did the coalition explain why you and others weren't invited to the hearings?
Well, they did in retrospect. Mario Silva, who was the chair of the one of the two chairs of the CPCCA, made a venomous little remark about not wanting to hear from people who were critical of the initial statements issued by the CPCCA. So, I mean, it's to my mind. I wouldn't want to put any emphasis on the fact that I sent in a submission. I mean, I did have things that I thought would interest them on issues of incorporating Holocaust materials into anti-racism education and so on. But the fact that they excluded groups like Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East, which is a highly respected NGO, or the Canadian Arab Federation, or Independent Jewish Voices, or the Seriously Free Speech Committee. I mean, these are respected human rights groups, and it is, to my mind, shocking that the groups of that stature would have been, in effect, sneered at by the CPCCA.
This was an all-party parliamentary coalition, but the participating members from the Bloc Québécois left in 2010. Why did the Bloc decide to stop participating?
Well, it was exactly because they wanted to hear from the Canadian Arab Federation and the Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East in particular. And this was while the organization, the CPCCA, was putting together its kind of its list for people for their oral hearings. And they were told, no, we're not going to have those people. And they responded that they had suspected that this was a seriously unbalanced process from the beginning, and they were out of it. It should be said, by the way, that because if you read the CPCCA's report, it's got a kind of parliamentary crest on it. It looks like an official document. This is not a committee appointed by Parliament. I mean, the normal parliamentary committee has the support of a parliamentary vote, in other words, a decision by Parliament as a whole that an issue needs to be examined, and they have a mandate from Parliament and also terms of reference set out by Parliament. This is a self-selected group who, in effect, decided on their own mandate and their own terms of reference, and they listened to the people who agreed with their prejudices, one would have to say. And the result is very visible in their report. It's a vehemently unbalanced report, and in some areas it's a ridiculous report.
But they don't have to answer to anyone, to the House of Commons or to a particular ministry for it.
Well, I think the endeavor is really one of a kind of persuasion by propaganda. You know, they put out something that looks like a parliamentary committee report. It says these things. It gets a certain amount of media coverage, and I think their hope is that they can press for it's a kind of neo-McCarthyism, I'm afraid to say. This was the position taken by Independent Jewish Voices in last November at their press conference, where I should add I was invited by them to speak as well. Neo-McCarthyism, because what they're trying to do is to say certain kinds call it, we're going to define it, we're going to widen the concept of anti-Semitism to incorporate that kind of critical speech, and thereby to silence it. And I think that's something that Canadians should recognize as a very serious threat to free speech in this country, to the independence of universities, to academic freedom in this country, and I suppose also to charter rights. I mean, these things do involve a kind of encroachment, well, a very clear encroachment on charter rights.
So what you could have is, if someone is being critical of events and actions that are specific to Israel, then they could be called anti-Semitic. Is that the danger?
Yeah, I mean, and it's quite clear in some of the statements of the report itself. They want, for example, there's a kind of sneering reference to some of their critics, in which they're accusing people critical of them implicitly of hate speech. This is on page 13 of the report. These attacks on the inquiry are a worrying example, at their worst, they say, of the willful attempt by a small minority to use sleight-of-hand techniques to justify and adhere to their own hateful agenda. I mean, that's rotten prose, but it's also pretty contemptible smear tactics on the part of a group of parliamentarians. One has to say with regret.
The report does say that anti-Semitism is a distinguishable and sophisticated form of hatred that needs to be studied as its own phenomena.
Well, it very definitely does need to be studied. But what the terms, when they say sophisticated, that's almost a term of art, because what they mean is that people who claim to be speaking up for human rights and international law and against clear injustices are really sophisticated anti-Semites. They're only doing this because they want to get at the state of Israel and thereby to express in a new form, so the claim would go, the ancient tropes of anti-Semitism. And I think one needs to reply to that. Yes, of course there are anti-Semites. There are plenty of them in the world, and those people also want to say things critical of the state of Israel, and they want to do it because they hate Jews in general. But it's not a resuscitation of the ancient blood libel, for example, one of the most loathsome tropes of anti-Semitism, to say that the Israeli Defense Force, when it attacked the Gaza Strip in 2008-2009, killed a lot of children. That you know, a certain percentage of the victims of that attack, there was something like 1,400, that a very high percentage of those victims were women and children. That's not a blood libel. That's a statement of the facts ascertained by human rights groups like Human Rights Watch and United Nations committees and so on. So there's kind of that rhetoric. I think one needs to be vigilant against any revival of anti-Semitism, but I think one also needs to be vigilant against the spurious rhetoric of people who want to use our good anti-racist feelings as a way of shutting down human rights discourse. That's really what's going on. It's an attack on international law, and it's an attack on human rights discourse.
Another thing that the report says is that Islamism is in part responsible for contemporary anti-Semitism, and talks about the dangerous effects of Islamist rhetoric on youth. In doing this, is the coalition actually creating or fueling Islamophobia?
Well, I think in part they are. I mean, there's a really odd little sequence on pages 18 and 19 of the report. They quote twice from an American scholar, Dr. Charles Small, who's quoted as saying on page 18 that within Canada's Muslim community there's a small, but he says prevalent, the words attributed to him, group who subscribe to the ideology of Islamism. And he means by that extremism, and as he says on the next page, in particular genocidal anti-Semitism as the core of that ideology. Now, quite clear that there are Islamist extremists. There are people who want to incite young Canadians into doing hateful and stupid things. This is a matter, I think, an urgent matter for public education within the Muslim community, by, of course, leaders of that community, first and foremost. And it's also a matter for the police to be attentive to, just as they need to be attentive to people like this appalling man in Norway who's just killed, whatever it was, 76 young people in that attack. One needs to be attentive, in other words, to neo-Nazis and violent Islamophobes like that character. But that's police work. So I think they when a parliamentary coalition report quotes someone to this effect, that in effect that a prevalent minority in Canada's Muslim community is devoted to genocidal anti-Semitism, that seems to me really inflammatory, because there's no evidence behind that claim, and I believe it to be a false claim.
One of the other things that the report highlights, and this is something that a lot of the media has picked up here, is the growing anti-Semitism at Canadian colleges and universities. What evidence is this based on?
Well, it's based on I think, a really disappointing anecdotalism, because what the report does is to sneer at the university administrators, the people who give oral presentations to the report from university administrations, included Pat Case, who's the human rights officer, has been for a long time at my own university, the University of Guelph. And he, like the others, said, yes, we do have occasional incidents. No, there is no such thing on our campuses as a surge or a wave of anti-Semitism. No, Jewish students are not persecuted, ridiculed, and intimidated on our campuses. This is not true. What their report does is to sneer at these administrators by implying that, well, they either don't know what's going on their campuses or they're not telling the truth about it. And instead to quote little reports of incidents which were supplied to their oral hearings by campus groups who, I think, in virtually every case, happen also to be groups supportive of the current policies of the State of Israel. Being a supporter of the State of Israel, of course, doesn't discredit what one says. It's just that what the report presents is simply anecdotalism. It's not supported, and they choose to sneer at the and to attempt to discredit the administrators, which I think is pretty sleazy.
Should we be concerned about the potential influence of the report on decision makers, such as those providing research grants at universities or government funding for nonprofit organizations?
We should, because the report, I mean, one of the key people in this CPCCA was Jason Kenney, Minister of Citizenship, Multiculturalism, and whatever the third one is. Kenney has misbehaved in a most grotesque manner, slandering NGOs like, most noticeably, an NGO called Kairos, which is supported by a coalition of mainstream Canadian churches, Roman Catholic Church, Anglican, United, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Central Mennonite Committee, and so on. He accused this organization, which has had contracts with CEDA, the Canadian International Development Agency, for 35 years, of being anti-Semitic. And it's very clear that his information, which came from an extremist website, an extremist organization in Israel that tracks human rights NGOs and attacks them and smears them, that his information was based on a confusion between another organization called Kairos, which is in fact an organization of Palestinian Christian leaders. And by the way, it's not anti-Semitic. If one cares to read what the Palestinian Christians have to say through their organization, Kairos, it's actually very moving. and it's a call for peace, and it's a call for an avoidance of extremism, but also for justice. In any case, Kenny smeared this organization. Kairos withdrew its funding. He smeared the Canadian Arab Federation in exactly the same way. And what the report does on page 20 is to recommend that funding guidelines, I'm quoting, should be strengthened to withhold any form of government funding or other support for NGOs that preach hatred or anti-Semitism, particularly those involved in integration and settlement of new Canadians. Now, that's a direct smear of the Canadian Arab Federation, because they had, until it was defunded, a well-regarded program that was involved in integrating not just Arab newcomers, but new Canadians more broadly into an understanding of, you know, they offered language classes and sort of citizenship classes and things like that. So the report is echoing Kenny's really contemptible smears and giving them its weight. And that to me is both shameful, but it's also a clear indication of the ways in which this report is acting as a kind of megaphone for views clearly enunciated by this government, by Prime Minister Harper, for example, last November, when he spoke in Ottawa about, in effect, Canada's single-minded commitment to whatever the state of Israel chooses to do.
Well, thank you for joining me today to talk about the report, Michael.
Thank you for having me, Karen. I'm sorry, I don't think I allowed you to get your questions.
No, I got all of them, and thank you very much. It was very informative.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I've been speaking with Michael Kiefer, professor of English at the University of Guelph, and the co-author and compiler of the book, Anti-Semitism, Real and Imagined, Responses to the Canadian Parliamentary Coalition to Combat Anti-Semitism. The book was published by the Canadian Charger in 2010, and you're listening to Mud and Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.